They're never going to set foot on the streets of gold. They're never going to see the river of life. Do you know why I say that? Because Jesus Christ said, all liars will not enter heaven. They shall have their part in the lake of fire. They can say whatever they want to, but their speech betrays them and their lives show up really what they are. They'll all have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and forever and forever.
Thank you for joining us at Sharon Baptist Church today. We're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. Now, if you'd like to find out more about us, you can find us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. There you can watch other sermons, listen to audio, and even get directions to come visit us. We are open tomorrow at 10:45. We'll have temperatures taken at the door and face masks available. If you're not comfortable with that, feel free to join us on Facebook. We live stream our services. You can find us on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord.
Isn't it strange how that the sisters would ask Jesus, Lord, you just don't understand. He's dead. There's nothing Jesus doesn't understand. Amen. He knows all about everything and everybody, doesn't he? He's never 4 days late. We may think he is, but he's always right on time. Never too late, maybe never too early, but always right on time. And he's going to be right on time through this COVID-19 also. We want it to go away yesterday. I know we all do, but it may not be his will just yet for it to pass away, but one day it will. How do you know that, preacher? Well, I can tell you how I know. Those 400 plus years that Israel spent in Egyptian bondage passed. Those 70 years in Babylonian captivity passed. And God promised Israel he'd bring them back to their homeland. Well, they were reconstituted in the nation in 1948, so he promised he's coming again. I'm looking for him, so I know that this too shall pass, won't it? Amen? Yes, it will. But now for today, I know that probably all of us have, at least in a limited basis, been watching the current events that are going on in our nation as well as around the world. And I have seen so much lying going on, attempting to be passed off for the truth, that God has led me to a passage today that I want to share a message about God's message to liars, because truth is on trial today. But I assure you, truth will win out. Amen? Amen. Turn with me, please, in your copy of God's Word to Psalm number 52. Psalm number 52, I'm going to read the complete 9 verses there in Psalm number 52. This psalm revolves around David fleeing for his life at the hands of Saul, the king, and Doeg, Saul's chief shepherd, comes before Saul and he tells a series of lies against David. Listen to the passage, how God speaks to those liars and evildoers. Psalm 52, verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Selah means stop and ponder that. Think about it. Think it over. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is a man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. And I will wait on my name, for it is good I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Of all the things that God hates, and there's a list of seven or so things in Proverbs, chapter number 6, verse 17, that talks about things that God hates, and lying is one of them. God hates a lying tongue and one that swiftly moves to shed innocent blood. We find here in this passage of Scripture a man by the name of Doeg, who was Saul's chief shepherd. He comes in before Saul and he tells Saul, David has gone to see the priest Ahimelech, and Ahimelech has given David Goliath's sword, and he's given David bread to sustain his troops so that David could now come back and rise up against you, Saul, and overthrow the kingdom. If you want to read all the details about that, you can find that in 1 Samuel chapters 21 and verse 22. So Doeg lies against David, and all David was doing in the meantime was running for his life from the hands of Saul. And so Saul got so enraged at what Doeg had lied about, he thought it was the truth. So he sends forth, and Saul has 85 innocent priests slain by the sword, all because of a lying tongue. Doeg, in my opinion, was a moral murderer, lying as he did against King David. Do you think you can destroy someone with your tongue? You can. Maybe not physically, but I assure you, you can slay someone with a sharp tongue. You can murder someone emotionally with your tongue. Well, here the message was given, the lie was told, the deed was done, the priests were killed, and Saul believes every word of it. God has a word for moral murderers, liars, in Doeg's day. And God has a word today for moral murderers, liars today. And here's God's message, at least in part, what I've read to you this morning. There's several things here I think need to claim our attention from this passage. I want you to see, first of all, with me, the corruption here of a lying tongue. You'll find that again, first of all, in verses 1 through 5. Nobody likes a liar, do we? God doesn't like a liar. We don't like liars, do we? The Bible says that the devil, he's a liar from the beginning. He's always been a liar. He's a liar today, and he's always going to be true to his nature, which is a liar. I don't know about you. I'll speak for me. When someone I've trusted and really put confidence in lies to me, and I find it out to be the truth that they've lied to me, I have a kind of struggle, don't you, with ever trusting that person fully again. I know we're supposed to forgive, and we do, but there's something within us that causes us to really think about whether I ought to trust that person again or not because of what they've already done. They maybe already told a lie and hurt you by it. Well, this was Doeg. He couldn't be trusted. He was a liar. It proved the fact that he was a liar. I want you to see the lying corruption that came from this man Doeg. And you can kind of apply that to liars today. First of all, notice this. Notice Doeg's devices in verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Doeg hated David. Hated David with a passion. And he lied against David to get the advantage. The Bible says he was proud in his lies, and he was boastful about it. You ever seen that lately? You know anybody like that? I'm sure we all probably do or have known someone like that in time past, possibly. Someone who just continually just stirs up strife and trouble on every hand. This was Doeg here. We're seeing this today in our nation. Lying, boasting, and being proud of it with malicious words. That was his device. But look at his real deceit here in verse 2. The tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. He says the tongue is like a barber's razor. With a barber, he takes the razor very meticulously, very carefully, very smoothly. He cuts our beards, trims our mustaches if we have one. He's real careful in what he does. He says, this man Doeg is taking like taking a razor that you trust a person or you wouldn't let him bring a razor to your face. You trust him, and he takes this razor and he uses it like a words like a razor. And rather than being a help, he cuts the throat of his victim here in his deceit. No wonder James in his writing in the New Testament said this, the tongue is set on fire of hell. He says, who can tame it? Only God himself can tame it. Set on fire of hell. We have today in our political realm, I'm not going to talk about Republicans or Democrats, I'm talking about politicians, those of our so-called leaders of our nation. You're finding them taking the words like a skillful barber would a razor, and just slicing through the truth, cutting someone to pieces. We've seen this in the church, haven't we? It was a kind of a deceitful joke once told about Baptists. They say Baptists are the only persons who bury their survivors. The tongue is deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. Who can know it? James says it's set on fire of hell. Who can tame it? Here we see an example in Doeg's life. And we see examples of that all around our country today, don't we? The devices of deceit. But look at Doeg's desire here in verse 3. He says, thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Think about it. Doeg loves to tell the lies more than he loves to tell the truth. He loves evil more than he loves good. Can you see that today? I think I see that today. Evil more than good. The desire here for Doeg was to destroy David's influence with lying words, sharp as a razor, cutting David to pieces. Does it sound like modern-day politicians to you? It does to me. My father-in-law used to say, and I still laugh about it sometimes, he said, you watch certain politicians, if his mouth is moving, he's lying. I'll let you just solve that one for yourself. But his desire was to destroy David. But look at his destruction here in verse 5. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. We all hate liars. God makes no pretense. He hates liars. You hate liars. We all hate liars, don't we? Amen. Well, what is it God says here he's going to do to liars? We need to understand from where they are to what's going to happen to them. In verse 5, God says, I will destroy you. Those are pretty strong words, but they're true words from the living God. See what God says. He said, I'll come, I'll take you away. I'll pluck you up. I'll root you out, take you out of your dwelling place forever, he says. The analogy here is like a tree. And I recall at my home, back in February this year, we had a tornado that came through, very severe. And I saw trees that were just twisted. maybe 7, 10, 12 feet high, just twisted apart and blown away. I saw trees that were just uprooted, plucked up, if you will, and twisted and rooted out and removed from their place. If you've ever seen that, you're familiar with that, that's what he's talking about doing here to those who are liars. He'll take them away, pluck them up, root them out, take them out of the land of the living. That's what God said he's going to do. But I thank God this passage doesn't just deal with negative things. There's some more positive, pleasant things he has to share here. From his corruption we see in Doeg's life and what we see today, I want you to see the contrast here of the truth in verse 6, verse 7. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is a man that made not God his strength, and trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. There's two sides of this contrast that we need to see. There's a positive side, and there's a negative side. First of all, let's look at the positive side here in verse number 6. The righteous person, when someone lies to us, he says, the righteous person is going to have the last word. He'll have the last laugh, the Bible says here. It says here, he'll see and he'll fear the Lord. He'll see the liar doing his wickedness, telling his lies, doing his mischief. He'll see it. He'll see where the liar is headed, and it'll cause him to lift up his own eyes and trust the Lord and fear the Lord so that he won't end up like this man's going to end up, or he won't live a life like this man is going to live. Be sure as we look at this, we'll say, we don't want to be like this kind of person. That's on the positive side. He said, we'll see. We'll fear the Lord. Then he says, they'll be scorned. He said, they'll laugh at that liar. Now listen. We're not supposed to laugh at somebody's calamity. That's not what the psalmist, I believe, means here. Just laugh because God twists somebody and takes them out of life. We're not to just laugh at what's going to happen. It's pathetic to what's happening to people who are liars today and in Doeg's day and in our day today. We're to joy in the very fact that God will see to it that true justice will be done. Now, you're not going to get injustice in this life. You forget that. It's not going to happen. Too much bias, too much prejudice. You're not going to get true judgment or justice here. But you will get true justice at the hands of God and only at the hands of God. But be sure, beloved, to know that justice will be done. That's the positive side of it. Now, look at verse 7, and you'll see the negative side of it. Here you see the liar is exposed in his wickedness. Here's how he's exposed. Number one, in the fact that he trusted in his wealth. He turned from the master to mammon. We'd call mammon today sordid gain. Getting money. Get. How much is enough? Always just a little bit more. He turned to that, to mammon, to sordid gain. They made him a horrible master, didn't they? Look what's happening in his life. That's what happens to people who turn from God and turn to mammon or worldly gain or sordid gain. He says they're going to be plucked up. They're going to be rooted out. What does that say to us? Should say something to us. He strengthened himself in his wickedness. No matter how wicked the liar was, he just kept on and on and on until God rooted him out and plucked him up. It seems like that's what's going to have to happen in our nation today for God to root out and pluck up and move away some liars, that God's truth might prevail again once in our land. He strengthened himself in his wickedness. Have you ever seen the boldness, the boasting in wickedness that you're seeing today in our nation? God help us. It's pathetic, isn't it? Well, what does all this say to us who are righteous people? It says this to me. I hope it says this to you. You better watch your tongue. You better watch your tongue. We better let God have His reins on our tongue. Let God decide what we say and how we say it. Well, there's another thing in here I want you to see. Not just the very corruption of this lying. Not just a contrast here of the liar and the righteous person. But I want you to see the confidence you can place in trusting God. Look at verse 5 or verse 8 through 9 here and you see it. Here it states the righteous person who's contrasted with the state of the liar or the lost person. Listen, see the difference here in life and see the difference here in death or eternity. First of all, notice this. For the righteous and the liar, prosperity is involved. He says in verse 8 that we, the righteous, are like a green olive tree, a maturing olive tree, one who's bearing much fruit. And then you contrast that with a liar, who the Bible says in the book of Psalms, the wicked man, the liar, he spreads himself as a green bay tree. He looks so prosperous, but one day he shall be cut off and without remedy. So you see, the righteous is like the olive tree, we're flourishing. The liar is like the green bay tree who's perishing. There's a difference in the prosperity of the righteous over against the prosperity of the wicked. If you're familiar with the Psalms, you should be. Psalm number 1. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, sitteth in the seat of the scornful, and standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his light doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted, not plucked up, planted by the rivers of waters. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, and his leaf shall not wither. There's the state of the righteous. But the state of the liar, the wicked, is he'll not be planted, he'll be plucked up. He'll not flourish, he'll perish. And in conjunction with that, Psalm 23 says that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our state with the Lord. Prosperity here, prosperity hereafter. The liar has his so-called prosperity here, then he's cut off one day forever and forever and forever. His prosperity here. Look at the contrast. Look at the presentation here. He in Psalm 1 is like the tree God planted by the rivers of waters, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now look at the state of the wicked. God's not going to plant them. He's going to pluck them. They're one day going to be dragged out before God, and the judgment of God's going to rest upon them, and they'll be removed. And he says, I'll destroy them. How long? Forever and forever and forever. So you see the contrast in the prosperity of the wicked and the righteous. See the presentation of the wicked and the righteous. But look at the patience of the righteous. Look at that last verse there, verse 9. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. And I will wait on my name, on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Listen to me, beloved, carefully. All you have to do is wait on God in patience. God will work it out. God will deal with the wicked. God will deal with the liars. God will deal with all injustice in this life. How do you say this? Because God's true to His nature. What God's done in the past, God's going to do today. What God does today, He's going to do tomorrow. Because you see, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God's done, He'll do it again. So we can praise God in knowing that and wait upon Him with confidence and trust in Him without any shadow of turning whatsoever. That's all we have to do. Wait on God, trust in Him. He says in that closing verse, it's good for the saints of God to trust and wait upon the Lord. We ought to praise Him and wait on Him and wait on Him and praise Him all at the same time. What a contrast. What a difference here between the liar, the wicked, and the righteous. A liar may profess he knows the Lord. I've heard recently those profess on the highest level how much they know the Lord. Oh, they're a person of faith. I wonder sometimes what kind of faith they've got, who they're putting it in. Listen, they can profess God all they want to, turn right around and use that words and those tongues like sharp razors to cut to pieces one another. But I assure you, it's not going to last. They're never going to see the gates of pearl. They're never going to set foot on the streets of gold. They're never going to see the river of life. Do you know why I say that? Because Jesus Christ said, all liars will not enter heaven. They shall have their part in the lake of fire. They can say whatever they want to, but their speech betrays them and their lives show up really what they are. They'll all have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and forever and forever. You see, that says to me, I hope that says the same thing to you. It would be better for us to have our tongues tied than to use them in a treacherous manner to cut to pieces the lives of anybody else. You see, God's going to deal with it. It's just a matter of waiting. Just a matter of trusting. Just a matter of having patience to wait on our God. The truth may be on trial, but I can tell you the outcome to that one. Truth's going to be vindicated. The truth's going to stand when the world's on fire, because here's the truth. It has never been defeated. It's never going to be defeated, and it'll be the same truth God will open one day and judge the lives of the saved and the lost, the wicked and the righteous. I'm glad I'm on the righteous side. How about you? Amen. Amen. So you just kind of take things as you see and evaluate them as God helps you to do so, and you'll see the truth from the lies. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you told us that the only thing that would set us free is the truth. You said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth involves the living truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth involves the written word, the holy word of God, and the living word. It will make us free. I pray for those who may be viewing, those who are listening, who have never trusted Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, that they may take the advantage to do that today. And if they so find that their lives are on the other side of treachery, boastfulness, lying, conniving, mischievous ways, that the Holy Spirit of God will convict, they'll want to join the very state of the righteous and dwell with you forever. We pray today you'd help us, Lord, as we wait upon you. Help us to praise you. Help us to thank you, because we know that victory may not be in sight today, but it is, in fact, coming. And it's in you. We believe you're coming, Lord, soon. And so we wait patiently upon you. And while we do, help us to remain truthful, that you might be blessed and honored and glorified by the lives we live, that will always tell the truth. We ask in Jesus' name.
Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We hope you enjoyed the message and will join us here next week. You can also join us for live services tomorrow at our church at 10:45. Our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord. Or you can join us for live stream. We live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord, also at 10:45. If you'd like to find out more about us, please visit our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.